Just to connect to that, I looked in Revelation chapter 12, which has the same description of the enemy. There he's cast out. In Revelation 20, he is chained in judgment. Isaiah chapter 14, so we speak about having the proper perspective of things. Isaiah chapter 14, just going to read quickly from verse 12 to 16. Because our foe is a great adversary. We are not able in our strength to withstand him. But we know the scripture reminds us it's greater that is he that is in us than he who is in the world. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven? This is a perspective of one who in the spirit realm is mightier than we are. But it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? He had a high position. How art thou cut down to the ground? Who didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, here's the perspective that we have to have. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who did shake kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness, destroyed its cities, who opened not the house of his prisoners? This is a future event that's going to take place for the adversary. That old serpent, he's an old serpent, been around a long time, deceiving, promises the world power, prestige, but in reality, he oppresses. And I want us to get to a point in our last half hour here, to have an understanding of how God sees Satan, what his end is going to be, his objective to you and I, and what is the secret to overcoming the devil. We've said in the book of Judges, the word of God is prominent. And sisters, this is a very important chapter because we're going to see this picture of Deborah in verse 4. She was a prophetess. She was a wife as well. We spoke of Aksa and her, the relationship that was there with her and Othniel and how she was undoubtedly a help to him as someone who was an adornment. But here we have a prophetess. And we asked ourselves yesterday, do I want to be an Othniel? We are the Othniels. Well, here is Deborah. And as sisters, we want to pose this question to you. We are the Deborahs. She was a prophetess, living word, and she judged Israel at that time. You know, the children of Israel dwelt there amongst the enemy. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, being between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. House of God. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. She was an outstanding woman. Prophetess, as a prophet, God spoke through them to the people. She was an instrument, a vessel, that though they were oppressed, though they had fallen prey to the 9,000 chariots that kept them enclosed and kept them in bondage, here was a woman in a day of great failure that was an instrument. She was a vessel ready, prepared for God's use. And the people recognized this, that the word of God, you have the thought here is an oracle of God, the mouthpiece of God, that the people came to her that she would judge them. That she would make the right assessment, that she would point them to the Lord. And I want to tell us in this day and age, the young sisters, the young brothers need those who will be an oracle of God, to speak the word of God. The young guys sometimes might, perhaps, I don't know, say some things that are not in line. They may have discussions that may not be profitable. You might be involved in that online, Facebook, texting, whatever we do. But who is going to be a Deborah to stand up and bring the word of God at that moment that will bring deliverance from whatever that thing is? Who are the Deborahs today?
It's important to realize that as much as Satan's attacks remain constant throughout time, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that hasn't changed. Maybe the tools he uses might change slightly, but it still comes down to those things. But the response to the believer is also always the same, right? Obedience to the word of God.
Can somebody tell me what Deborah, Deborah means? One of you guys in the back. Or anybody.
Activity.
Actually, she means a honeybee, a busy bee, a bee. That is what would the... Now, remember what I said yesterday about the flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Lazy. The Deborah is busy producing honey. Very active. Very active. In a time where everybody is lazy, nobody wanted to do anything, no man around wanted to do anything, she's a busy bee. She's busy serving in her own little quiet circle, recognize her role, but she's a busy bee, producing honey, producing fruit. That is what really the Lord is looking for, those who want it to be overcomer. They're busy in the things of the Lord. There is enough to make you busy, I am sure, outside of the things of the Lord. You don't have to do anything bad, but you will be very busy doing all kinds of things. She's a busy bee for the Lord and for the people of God. And are we? Am I a busy bee, or I'm lazy? Can people in my circle, my local assembly, said, "Oh, he's lazy. You can't trust him to do anything. You ask him to do something, gotta tell him all the time and tell him 30 times. Or you know what? He's just a person who you don't have to ask. He's coming to you. Said, "What do you want me to do?" Very busy, busy bee, reducing honey, something that is sweet for the saints of God and for God himself.
A busy bee, not a busy body.
Yeah. Those are bad ones, the busy bodies.